Well, I want to start today off with something that I saw several years ago and just love. So,
I look up and I see God. I look down and see my dog. Simple spelling, G-O-D. Same word backwards, D-O-G. They would stay with me all day. I'm the one who walks away. But both of them just wait for me and dance at my return with glee. Both love me no matter what. Divine God and canine mutt. I take it hard each time I fail, but God forgives, dog wags his tail. God thought up and made the dog. Dog reflects a part of God. I've seen love from both sides now. It's everywhere. Amen. Bow wow. I look up and I see God. I look down and see my dog. And in my human frailty, I can't match their love for me.
I think I first saw this several years ago. I believe it was Martha Creek, who works as a consultant for the Great Lakes region, and she showed it, and I just fell in love with it because you know I am a dog person, right? Yes, I know. I had a little trouble not getting teary up here myself. I have shown you pictures of Kirby, my newest canine family member. I come from a family of dog and animal people. I have three dogs. My son has three dogs. My sister has a cat and had a dog. May have a dog. Anyway, we just all have animals. We love them. And I feel much the same way about my critters. You know, they love me. They absolutely love me, no matter what. They get excited, you know, if I leave, whether it's when they get excited when I come back. They get so excited whether I've been gone several hours or even if I come back in from the mailbox, you know. she's back. And it feels so wonderful to be so loved and so greeted, you know, when you walk in the door. They see me at all times. They're with me at all times. They go in the bathroom with me. They follow me everywhere, you know. So they see me first thing in the morning, you know, with my hair like this. And they see me dressed up, and they see me all sweaty and yucky after mowing the grass or whatever. They see me in all conditions. I loved your song because it really says that. They don't care. They love me no matter what I look like. They love me no matter if I'm grouchy. I have, snapped it, you know, be quiet. And especially the new little guy, he's very sensitive, and he just runs away, you know, when I speak sharply, so I'm trying to be mindful. They're just amazing. They have what I call unconditional love. There are no conditions on their love for us. I think that's pretty remarkable. Unconditional love. Who has experienced it in their lives? No, not with people, not necessarily animals. With people, anybody? Yes? Yes. It is wonderful. It's just wonderful when we... Who was that for you, if you don't mind sharing?
Mother.
Father? Mother. Your mom? Good.
My father, daughter,
Wonderful. That's great. That's great. Huh? You had what?
I said my daughters and my son.
Beautiful. Yes. That's wonderful, yes. Although I have to say, cats are a little more conditional than dogs are. They tend to be more like, maybe you can pet me today, maybe not. But, yes. Right.
Cats understand unconditional love. It just has to go to them.
That's right. Give me more. Yes, yes. My grandmother was the person who showed me unconditional love. I could do no wrong. It was just amazing. You kind of have to understand, my grandmother had four sons. My dad was the third of four sons. She always wanted a daughter. That didn't happen. And then when the grandchildren started coming, she had three grandsons before I came along. So guess what? So then I was the darling. But she was just amazing. I used to spend time with my as an adult I've learned how annoying a chattering child can be when they chatter constantly. And I would follow my grandmother everywhere, you know, just everywhere. I was constantly talking to her. But she's the one who showed me what unconditional love was in human form. And it was just great. I also experienced unconditional love from someone I had never met. A man named Greg Baer was a presenter at the, it was when I was at the Texas church, and so the South Central Regional Conference, they had him as their keynote person, and he came and he did 3 days worth of, you know, like a seminar on his work, which was called Real Love. His name is Greg Baer. It was a very powerful work. Real love, of course, is unconditional love. And it was interesting, life-changing, and inspiring to hear his information and to be in his presence, because I had never before just been, you know, in the presence of someone who just was totally accepting. There was nothing that was expected of me. It was an amazing feeling. He would come and sit at different people's tables at lunch or dinner, whatever it was, on the retreat, and you just had this knowing that he valued every person there. He respected each person there. He was just so accepting, so loving, but not in the way that, you know, gushy, I'm, you know, can't live without you. Not like that at all. It was, I see you, I accept you, I love you. It was wonderful. Now, Greg Baer wrote a book called Real Love. I want to share with you how he defines real love. He says, real love is caring about the happiness of another person without any thought for what we might get for ourselves. No conditions. He has a pretty powerful story at the beginning of his book, and I'll make it very short, or pretty short. He apparently was one of these people who was, I'd call him a golden child. You know, just things came easily for him. He was a scout, got into scouts, got all the awards. I mean, so even from childhood on, he would set goals, and it was easy for him to achieve them. He did well in school. He went on to college, to pre-med. He became a doctor, a very successful doctor. He married, had children. And he writes in his book that in his 30s, by his 30s, he had already achieved every goal that he had set for himself. So then he was like, now what? There was a hole in him, an emptiness that he couldn't seem to fill. You know, nothing that he bought, nothing that he achieved satisfied for very long. And there was a what else? There's something missing. And then the sad turn of the story is that he began to use drugs. He, as a doctor, he had access, easily had access, and he became addicted to drugs. He tells of finding himself sitting alone with a gun pointed at his head. He was done. He was so ready to just quit because he couldn't get to what it was that was wrong. He didn't know, and he was tired of trying. And in that time, though, something clicked and said, no, I don't want to do this. So he did not follow through with it. He got himself into a rehab. He got clean, and he met up with some other people and began to pursue this, pursue happiness. What really makes us happy? Not temporary happiness, but what makes us happy? And out of that came this body of work called Real Love. This was in the 2000s when I met him, and it was a pretty big deal. You know, he had people who began to learn to teach it. There were groups that got together to do the process. It was a pretty big deal. I was completely enamored of it. I've wanted unconditional love as has been kind of a dream of mine forever, as far as I can remember. So I got involved with it. It was maybe still is. I haven't been involved with it for a long time, but I think it fell apart because in those support groups, we were supposed to help each other by questioning what we wanted, what it ended up being was people fixing each other, and that really rarely goes well. so that's what I see as kind of the weak link in all of his work. But what he did and what he started and his definitions for real love and how to look at it all were very powerful. He did have a process that I think is something that we can use if we chose to. His process was first truth. Tell the truth. If we want to be loved and if we want to love, we have to be honest. Because if we're not, we're putting up a facade. And if we have a facade in front of us, whoever's on the outside cannot see us. They can't love us because there's something in the way. Neither can we really love because we're not being honest with that other person. So the first is to tell the truth. In some cases, it was kind of funny because he talked about, when you go on a first date, you know, wanting to put your best foot forward. And he kind of did a little thing. He says, but you can't always have that first foot out there all the time. And it was funny at the time. But anyway, if you put your best foot forward, it's okay to go on this date, to dress up some, but be real. You know, don't. False packaging, you know, don't do that. Be yourself, he was trying to tell us. Be yourself. Tell the truth about who you are. The second part of the process is tell the truth and be willing to be seen. Be seen. To be seen, you have to be willing to be vulnerable. You have to be willing to, like my dog, see me first thing in the morning. You have to, not everybody needs to see me first thing in the morning, but you have to be willing to let people see who you really are. In my younger years, it has been very difficult for me to stand up sometimes for what I think is right. Kind of comes with the generation I think that I come from, is trying to put other people first and, you know, all that sort of thing, be the one who makes things okay. So sometimes when there was something that I didn't agree with, I would just be quiet. Wasn't completely truthful, but I also wasn't willing to be seen. I wasn't willing for people to see that I had beliefs that and they were in conflict with what was going on. I wasn't willing to step up and be seen. The third part of the process is acceptance. If you tell the truth and if you're willing to be seen, then you can be accepted because it's really you. It's really you. And you can accept others. People can be truthful and they can be willing to be seen. The acceptance part doesn't mean you have to agree necessarily. It just means that we have to be willing to say, this is what I think and believe, and that's what you think and believe, and that's okay. You don't have to believe the same things I do. I don't have to believe the same things you do. But we can accept each other. We can accept. And then the last piece of it, what happens then, is love. And if you think about those people that you've just told me were the ones that loved you unconditionally, but that you were honest with them, you were yourself, you were willing to be seen, they accepted you and they loved you because it's real. It's who you are, and they like that. And vice versa, you know, the people that we love. So Greg Bear is a modern-day advocate of real love, of unconditional love. There's somebody else that was an advocate of real love, and that, of course, is Jesus Christ. Some scripture that we read is, the first one that I wanted to mention is Sermon on the Mount. We are told, Jesus tells us that, why do we worry about what we're supposed to eat or what we're supposed to wear? You know, that God takes care of even the birds in the air. They are provided for. The flowers are tremendously beautiful, even more than King Solomon's clothes. So why should we worry? God is there and will take care of us. So we will be given everything that we need when we turn to God. So we have this impression then of this wonderful, bountiful, providing, loving God. And then there's another scripture that I think points out the difference between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. It's Matthew 5:45. He says, "Your Father in heaven makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." This is very different from the Old Testament God. The Old Testament God makes us feel like if you do this, and if you act this way, and if you say this and do these things, then maybe God will love you. But in the New Testament, this God gives all to everyone. So it is a very loving, not arbitrary God. That's unconditional love. And then finally, all of the teachings that we look at in the Gospels, you know, Jesus isn't saying God, you know, loves you unconditionally. That's not the language they use. But if you read what his teachings are, it's always about what the Father does. The Father loves you. The Father will provide. All of that. So God does, according to Jesus, love us unconditionally. So, what we know. We know that dogs love unconditionally. What a joy for all of us. We know that God loves unconditionally. If our animals can see us first thing in the morning, God, you know, God is with us all the time. God loves us unconditionally. We have certain people in our lives that love us unconditionally, and that's such a blessing. But the question I have for us is, what if we learn to be the ones to be unconditionally loving for everyone else? What if we make that our goal? When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, the greatest commandment is to love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your might. And a second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So love God, Love your neighbor. And who's your neighbor? Everybody. Yes. And love yourself. Love. We can be that. We can work on that with this process, if we just kind of keep that in mind, the truth, tell the truth, be willing to be seen, accept and be accepting, and that makes us lovable. We can do this. We can be that friend that is unconditionally loving. We can be that family member. If I had a grandchild, maybe it'll come. Maybe not. Maybe it'll happen. But for my rest of my family, we can be that for everyone in our world. And I think that is a really worthwhile endeavor. We say often that we are here to be the light of the world. And what better way than to be love, unconditional love. So as we do each week, let's take time to be connected with, to commune with this creator, this all-loving, all-knowing source that we call God. So if you will, allow yourselves to just settle in your seats. You might want to gently close your outer eyes. And breathe. We breathe in deeply and exhale. We can feel all that is not God, all that is not good, just melting away as we take these deep breaths in and exhale. We find ourselves relaxing. Relaxing, relaxing. And then we purposely and consciously relax our bodies, starting at the tops of our heads, moving our awareness down and relaxing every time we find a place that's tight. All the way down. Until we can feel our bodies relaxed, still, quiet. Our minds like to think, so there might always be thoughts that are going across the screen of your mind. But if you allow your mind to focus on that breath, let it pay attention to the breath as it comes in. Let it notice how your body feels as you exhale. Then you can become even more still. Allow yourself to listen. And inside listening, I sometimes say, listen to the spaces between the in-breath and the out-breath. As we sit still, quiet, listening, we become at one with that part of ourselves that is divine. All of the personality, all of the ego is busy watching the breath. And we are open. We are receptive. We are willing. We are surrendered. And it is in this open and receptive state that we realize that as the inheritors of God, one of the attributes, one of the things, the characteristics that we use to describe God is love. God is love. We are that also. So in this stillness, we allow ourselves to feel that truth of ourselves. One of the things I think that happens is when we see our dogs, when we see these reminders in human form, in canine form, in whatever form, that's a reminder of love, of God. And we open. Our hearts open to receive and to give love. Since this is the truth of our being, it isn't anything that we have to get from anything or anywhere. It is. All that is required is that we allow it to express. And it is through these times of connection that we feel it, we experience it. We are safe. We are loved. There is nowhere we can be or go that God is not there, that God is not one with us. We are truly never alone. And just as we protect our loved ones here in the outer world, we have this love within us that protects us, that gives us peace even in the midst of chaos, that gives us strength even in trying times, that gives us comfort in the saddest of times. God is love. We are love. And so as we do each week, let us take a few moments now in silence to experience love, to feel love, to be love in the silence. We are renewed each time we take time and make time to connect, to be one with our Creator. We strengthen that bond. We energize and fill ourselves with peace and joy and love. And we can take these out into the world and express them as we go about our lives. We are grateful. Grateful for the awareness. Grateful that we are one. Grateful for love. And so we close our time of contemplation as we come together to say the words that our master teacher, Jesus Christ, taught when he taught us the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.